things happening over there at McDuff, so never know, ladies. I'd encourage all you ladies, if you're not plugged in, if you can attend, it's a wonderful time of fellowship. And I was thinking as she was sharing that, when God reaches a family, it begins somewhere. It begins somewhere. And what we need to be praying for is that the beginning that happened there was an aunt, you know, and their daughter. One dies, and then the daughter now has come to new life in Christ. And there's so many in that family that don't know the Lord. But that's the way that's the way it's supposed to work. So earlier in the service, I had some of you standing on behalf of those you're praying for. You be faithful, because that's the way God has ordained it. You be faithful where you are. Share the message. Be that friend and be that encourager that God wants you to be with your family member. That's the way it works. And then one by one, you're going to start seeing them come to Christ. Don't give up. Don't give up. The enemy wants you to give up. Don't give up. No retreat. Keep moving forward with the Lord. And keep trusting God and believing, and God will encourage you and help you to see victory along the way. And you'll see some of these people that, you say, "Dear Lord, could God even save them?" Because they seem to be so reprobate, and yet God is able. God is able. Don't shortchange what God can do. All right. Now, because of the hour, and I think everything the Lord has put together the service, but I do want to read something for you, and I'm not going to be preaching a lengthy sermon now, but let me just remind you that Sunday night, you know, we have our ministries here, and we'll be discussing some things in the tonight, Lord willing, on the Old Testament view of the afterlife and spiritual. How did they perceive things? It's kind of an interesting thing. We'll talk about some of those things. By the way, if you're not able to be out Sunday night, you're missing, I think, some good discussions. We had a lively discussion last week and talked about the elect and who the elect are. And there's a lot of opinions about that. And we discussed some of those things last week. But that's tonight. But I've been speaking to you in the last few weeks. I felt impressed to preach from Matthew 24. Pardon me. And I was going to finish up today that last part of the chapter, because it kind of summarizes everything and lets us know what's ahead. The main reason why I've been speaking on this is because the second coming of Christ is one of the foundational truths of the gospel. The fact that the Christ who walked this earth 2,000 years ago, he's coming back. The exact same Christ. And not a copy, you know, not a new version, but he is Christ, the Son of the living God. He is coming back. And the tendency, unfortunately, I didn't realize this. It never dawned on me, but I heard a report that in many churches today, the doctrine of the second coming is not being preached the way it used to be preached. And there used to always be a strong appeal for people to get right with God. And the reason you need to get right with God is because Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back for his people, not just for everybody. It's not universalism. He's coming back for his people. So you need to get right with God. And we used to preach that with fervor from the pulpit. And, you know, I've always thought, well, I still do that, but I can't vouch for what's being preached somewhere else. But I do believe that that's very important truth. And there are some people that want to make sure they don't offend, and so they're preaching a gospel that's talking about all the positive things of being a Christian, but not talking about some of the things like the judgment to come. And that's their prerogative. If someone will preach that, that's okay. I mean, I preach the positive things of the gospel too, but people need to know that there is a judgment coming. And if you don't tell them, or if you act like it's no big deal, or it's not that important, they're not going to take it seriously. Yeah, and you don't preach the judgment of God with hate, you preach it out of love. Because you love people, because God loves people, you let people know what the real story is. what the real situation is. And the real situation is that God is going to send his son back to this earth. He's coming back. And he's coming back. It says our God is a consuming fire. And so out of concern for people, I tell them, look, you know, I preach God's love and all the wonderful things about the Christian life. And I don't want to preach just condemnation or any of that. But I want you to know that if you're not right with God, you're not going to heaven. In fact, you're going to hell. That's the truth. And I don't say that with any glee. I don't say that out of any sense of vengeance. I'm just letting you know what the scripture says. And Matthew's gospel, especially in this passage, it talks about that. And I felt God impressed me to let you know and to remind you. And I know most of you know the doctrine of the second coming of Christ, but you need to be reminded of this so you get that firmly in mind, why it is we're doing what we're doing, why it is we're faithful to the things of Christ is because Jesus is coming back. He's coming back, folks. He may well come within the lifetime of some of us here today. That could happen. So you need to know that, and you need to, with a sense of urgency, reach out to others and let them know that the judgment of God is going to fall upon those who don't believe, those who don't submit to Christ, those who don't ask him to come into their lives, like we heard in this testimony, these wonderful testimonies today of those who have surrendered to God. Now, I'm not going to preach on Matthew 24 this morning. It is still part of the theme, but I thought it was interesting. If you go to the last book of the Old Testament, because, you know, God spoke to the children of Israel. He spoke to his people very, very strongly and very clearly. And you can see what it says and when we're talking about warning this world. In the book of Malachi, if you turn to the book of Malachi and the last chapter, it's only six verses. And so in conclusion this morning, to kind of set it up for what I'll be speaking, I think, Lord willing, next week. I think I'll probably finish this series next week. Who knows, though, the way things are around here, maybe the Lord will direct some other way. But I'm planning on doing that. I won't preach the sermon this morning. We'll get some of that next week. But this is kind of to let you know that God was so concerned about humankind that he spoke through the Old Testament prophets to his people a message. It's one of the final messages that we have recorded in the Old Testament of the Bible. And notice what it says, beginning to read with verse 1. It's chapter 4 of Malachi. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff. And the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall, and you will tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, even the statutes and ordinances which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And he will restore the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse. Isn't it interesting? It mentions that he's going to send Elijah. If you ask, what are Jews looking for? You know, they're looking for Elijah. Say, well, why are they looking for the prophet Elijah? Because it says here, Malachi, I'm going to send you Elijah. God is so concerned about this world that he speaks to the prophets, the Old Testament. He says, the day is coming. There's going to be a day of summation when everything, all the purposes of God are going to be revealed. It's all going to come together. That was a big question. God, what are you doing? If you say you have a special people and we're suffering, We're invaded from time to time. We're taken off. We're held captive. We're enslaved. And then you grant victory, and you've given us laws, and we're supposed to. What's it all about? How's it all going to come together? There were questions in the minds of God's people in the Old Testament days of the Old Testament. And you need to understand that even in those times, God spoke of the day that was coming, the day of the Lord that was coming. Our God is a consuming fire. There is a day coming when God is going to judge all things and bring everything, he's going to take everything that all his divine purposes, he's going to reveal them and bring it all together in one great event. It's coming. It's in the last days. It's oftentimes referred to as the day of the Lord. So, what does that mean for us today? You say, well, that's Old Testament. Yes, that is. But we have revealed in Christ the purposes of God. You want to know what God is like, you look at Jesus. You want to know what the divine purposes are? Well, then take a look at what Jesus said. So, we see consistency in the New Testament when it talks about the day of the Lord. We see that consistent with the Old Testament message that God is going to sum everything up. It's all going to come to a head, so to speak, on this earth. Now, why is that significant? That's significant because a lot of the things that are spoken of, the times that are going to come, we're beginning to see the potential, at least, for that in our world. It's not going to be all peace and harmony. We're all going to hold hands and accept one another, even with all our cultural differences. That'd be nice, but the scripture doesn't say that's the way it's going to happen. It says there's going to be great upheaval, great turmoil on the earth. And so that's what the future holds. You say, well, isn't that a doomsday message? Well, I don't think it's doomsday. I think you could say it's a deliverance day message because Christ is coming. And he's coming as a deliverer. He's coming as savior. He's coming as conqueror. He's going to establish a righteous kingdom. That's all coming. But what it means is this, is that you and I, we have to take heed of the day and the hour in which we live. Now is the day of salvation. That was pertinent and significant back when it was proclaimed thousands of years ago. Now is the day of salvation. It's the same today for every person who lives. Now is the day. Don't put off serving God with fervor. Do it now. Now. You say, why? Because there's no guarantee that you're going to have another day. There's no guarantee for anybody. So now is the day. Now is the time. And I would ask that question of all of us today, are you ready? If now is the day, are you ready? Are you ready for what God has already ordained is going to happen to this earth? Are you ready? I don't know if you've ever found yourself in a position where you discovered through circumstances that you weren't prepared properly and you weren't ready. For anyone who's ever done any camping or living outdoors, and you know, there are times when you're aware of that. Years ago, I went through the Royal Ranger training and leadership course and everything, and they used to have a motto. I don't know if they still have it. Ready? I don't know if they still have it. Ready for anything? Was it work, play, serve, obey? Something like that. I got it. Roger gives me the sign. Ready to work, play, serve, obey. And that was the motto that we gave every young boy, is that Royal Rangers was preparing them to be ready for anything. And in a spiritual sense, God's word is given to us so that you and I would be prepared to be ready. Ready. So to ask the question, are you ready? Everyone should say, yes, I am ready. Why are you ready? Because I know God's word, and I know of what's about to happen on the earth. We're beginning to see signs of that. We're beginning to see a situation evolve where circumstances are coming together that are going to make it very easy for some of these events to unfold. Are you ready? And so I would just leave you with that this morning. I think God is speaking to our hearts in these days. I think God wants us to be Christians that have fervor in our commitment and in our desire to serve Him. Are you ready? There's nothing quite as irritating as being faced with the scoffers and the skeptics who don't believe the Word of God and who think you're crazy for believing the way you believe. You know, those who demonstrate and they flaunt their ignorance in the face of God by what they say, by what they do. And it's very obvious they're not ready for what's about to happen on the earth. Let God's people arise and let us proclaim the gospel of Christ. Jesus is coming again. He is coming again. And let us be prepared for His arrival. Would you bow in prayer? Lord, these are very important days in which we find ourselves. There's uncertainty in the hearts of some. Fear, anxiety. But Lord, these are days to be watchful. Your word declares that we need to be prepared and not be ignorant of the times or the seasons, but to be able to discern where we are within the context of time, to have an idea when we see things happening around us. And your word gives clear guidelines and gives us direction. And Lord, these are days that all of us, need to be prepared for what may well happen within our lifetime. I pray, Lord, this morning that you will impress this upon us. Let your people be filled with the Spirit of the living God, ready and prepared to face whatever may come. And may our witness be clear and bold and unwavering. May we be fervent in our commitment. May the gifts that you've been given us, may they be active. May all of us be faithful to the one who has never failed us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me? We've been in God's house today, experienced His presence. And I think what was said concerning prayer is very appropriate. We need to be people of prayer. That is the answer. You say, what is the answer? Well, I can tell you this, that the time-proven answer for whatever we face, whether as individuals or as a church, the answer is always prayer. To seek God, to seek His face, and to believe that when we pray, God not only hears us, but He will answer us, and that He will move the mountains if they need to be moved. He'll move them. He'll do whatever. People of faith. God wants His church to be filled with faith. That's the big question. Will he find faith when he comes again? And I pray that this church, it will be said of this church, that this is a church filled with people of faith. Faith to believe. Faith to see the hand of God move. Faith for revival. Faith to see victories won. Faith to see healing. All these things. Faith. Believe. Don't be intimidated by the devil or by your circumstances. Hold fast. Are you ready? The answer should come back with a resounding yes, I am ready. I am ready. May that be your conviction. May that be your affirmation that you are ready for whatever comes. Serving God, full of faith, knowing that the victory is ours, that we are more than conquerors because he loves us. Jesus, we love you. We leave this place going with the fact that you go with us. You're going to prepare our way this very week. There's somebody out there, Lord, that needs to hear the message of salvation. There's some soul that is desperate. They don't know where to turn. They need direction, and we can help them. And so I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to be sensitive to those that are around us. Help us to respond to human need with the love of Christ. Help us to point people in the right direction, to the cross. That's our hope. That's our confidence. That, Lord, is the answer for this world. I ask that your people, O God, might be fervent in their faith, dedicated in service, hearts filled with vision, looking to accomplish those great things that you've already prepared for each one this very week. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you and have a great Lord's Day.